All right, thank you. I believe we are efforting to contact the Gordon. Is that the Gordon for real? No.
We're waiting on the Gordon. Daddy, get Gordon.
Go, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Well, I will save the Diddy story. I will move that down in the stack as we try to establish with Gordon. But we do have another rapper in the news. I only am familiar with this guy's name because of who's the white rapper?
Eminem.
No, not him.
The Beastie Boys.
No,
Mac
not
Miller.
Him. No, not him.
The one that Jake loves.
No, the one that Jake loves.
Hey, Gordon.
The one that was on the Lil Nas X track.
Bob Newhart.
Stevie Ray.
No. Anyway.
Which was wrong? Bob Pretty Newhart or Stevie Ray? Ray?
Both of them were wrong.
Oh.
Chaperone.
But he was referenced in one of the guy's songs that I can't remember. But the rapper I'm telling the story about is Skilla Baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Like in the rap that, of the guy that I can't say, he's like, I rap like Skilla Baby. I do kind of stuff. I'm not a killer, baby. And some other stuff. And do me, baby.
You got mad flow.
I know, I do. Well, Skilla Baby has been hospitalized after he was a victim of a drive-by shooting.
Oh, my God.
And police say this was a targeted attempt on his life.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
So Skilla Baby's real name
Wait,
is...
Why, of course?
Well, if you run in those circles, Gordon...
What circles?
Those circles?
You're
okay. Go ahead,
more
Dave.
Likely to be in some sort of feud than,
a rap beef?
Yes, yes.
Does classical music have as many feuds as popular music?
Current or back in the day? Like Beethoven and Bach? Like, I heard they went at it.
Really?
Oh, my God. Like, they would go past each other in their horses and packing their muskets real quick. And
Jack Harlow.
Turning their muskets on their sides before they fire them.
Right, yes. Yeah.
What's that, David? I'm sorry.
I said Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow.
The rapper I was trying to think about.
Sure.
Anyways, so Skilla Baby, real name Trevon Gardner, was driving alone in the 8 Mile area of Detroit around 7 p.m. last night, and somebody pulled up alongside of him and emptied about 25 rounds into his car.
Man.
And so he swerved off the road and crashed into a building. The suspect fled the scene, but there was a bystander there, thankfully, who witnessed the incident.
Oh, the suspect didn't stop to render aid?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so the eyewitness called 911, but then just transferred Skilla Baby to the hospital himself. And so he ended up being shot in the hand, grazed twice in the head and back, and also has a thigh injury, I guess maybe from the car accident.
Now he's a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like 50 Cent.
Yeah. So
he's expected to make a full recovery.
Is that his given birth name?
No, Trevon Gardner.
Okay, right.
Okay, the Diddy revelation this week. So Diddy, of course, is in week two of his sex trafficking trial in Manhattan.
Sex crimes.
And so on the stand this week was one of his former employees, a guy named George Kaplan, who was testifying about how he was using Diddy's black Amex card to purchase anything and everything that Diddy needed. And so they were going down all
You're
of
right,
the
brother.
Things that he requested, including yacht leases and villas and baby mm-hmm. oil, all of those things that he would need for his freak-offs. But then the defense attorney brought up applesauce, and his former assistant said, Mr. Combs loves applesauce and eats it on the side or on top of a lot of things, cheeseburgers being one of them.
Dude, this is Matt Birmingham.
And so
Ham loves applesauce.
And so when they were describing Diddy putting applesauce on top of cheeseburgers, some of the jurors grimaced and one of them made a gagging gesture.
God.
So have you ever heard of applesauce on a burger?
No.
Yeah, I think I have.
Why?
I think I actually have.
Like, I know that like peanut butter on a burger is a thing. Like sometimes you put peanut butter or jelly and or jelly on a burger. But I've never heard of applesauce.
Are you guys into, like, when I, we would hear Matthew McConaughey talk about the sweet and the sour?
Yeah, so
when he was assembling a sandwich.
My sour.
Yeah.
And that sandwich that you got there.
Gotta get the balance just right.
But were you guys into having sweet taste on something that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like a burger, anything
yeah.
like that. Like,
no. Yeah.
Having you something know, sweet on top of it, it just sounds so gross.
The thing that I tried that was actually good, which I thought was going to gross me out, was at a donut shop I used to go to, and they had the, I don't know, it was like a Canadian maple eclair or something.
Yeah.
But it had a slice of bacon on the top of it.
I thought
that was
going to
be so
before.
Gross, and it was excellent.
You know, I don't even like it, like, if I have a big country breakfast.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Country.
I don't like it when my bacon touches the syrup. And I know
I
people love that.
Yeah, bring that
you
on.
You can buy bacon at some restaurants that is like doused in syrup when it's mm-hmm. when it's broiled or
yeah,
grilled.
I know. I know I'm the weirdo when it comes to that, but I just like sweet things to be sweet and non-sweet things to be non-sweet. I cannot
What about the sausage McMuffin? That's great.
McGriddle?
Is that sweet?
Yeah, yeah.
You're
that's
talking
right.
about the McGriddle because yeah,
yeah, that's
it's
great.
Like the has the little pockets
syrup
of
infused.
Syrup in.
Oh, I've never had that.
Yeah,
never had that.
It's like a pancake with little sauce or crystals of syrup inside.
Gordon, if
and
you
then,
go if you go to McDonald's
in between.
If you go to McDonald's early in the morning, like whatever 4:30 in the morning before y'all show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the only one in line?
No.
So there's always lines there, no matter what?
Well, I'll say it's probably 50-50. It usually will be, and I haven't done this in years, swung through before the show, but it would be like one car or maybe one, two, or three cars. That would be the max, would be about three cars. And then okay. sometimes it was the only one.
So probably by 6 o'clock it gets really crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end.
Oh, is that the end of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So was Diddy putting applesauce on people's privates? Was he, like, using
that,
women's privates parts of the bowl?
They haven't testified as to that, but if he likes it on everything, you would think that he probably tried it at least once.
Man, that wouldn't surprise me in the least that if he...
Him
because,
spooning applesauce out of a...
Oh, God.
Did he show his dong?
Because he's... Jay, calm down
chamber.
Back there. What? That when you're that into sex and you keep trying to ramp it up.
Right. There's, and you're like squeezing her like a go-gurt.
There's no doubt that you implement food into your fun.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, dude. You
like
do.
Like Costanza.
You do anything.
You couldn't get excited unless food was involved.
That's right. So gross.
Yuck. Okay, it's been a while since we've talked about Britney on E! News. Britney Spears, of
Britney!
Course.
Britney!
But she has definitely kind of gone off her rocker. We've talked about her dancing with knives on Instagram.
Hot.
And how she is really into baby talking. And she said that she was going to kindergarten. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
What?
And, yeah, she said that she was starting kindergarten this year. Just insane.
Taking like a Billy Madison path
yeah.
to success.
And she
it's
also,
insane,
I guess,
empowered.
I guess she's also spending maybe the majority of her time in Mexico. I believe she has a place in Cabo San Lucas. And so she was just flying back to LAX on JSX.
Okay.
Love Field Zone JSX. And so she was flying with her security detail from Cabo to LAX. And she was drinking, and so she got a little tipsy and decided, you know what? I'm going to light up right here on the plane. And
weed?
No, cigarette.
Okay.
Just a tobacco cigarette. But she started smoking, and flight attendants freaked out, and they were like, you got to put that out, ma'am. And so she did, but not without some protesting that they said she was being a little bit difficult. And so when the plane landed, she was met by authorities and warned about her conduct, but she was let off with the warning. She was free to leave. But it was not the LAX police. Sources say it was customs officials that admonished her.
Is that celebrity bias? Like, if that would have been you or I, would I mean, I feel like that, that's a...
We
are told that is a
federal offense,
yes,
right? Yeah, we probably would have been arrested, but because she probably baby-talked to the customs officer, yeah, they were like, okay, just get out of here.
You can't arrest me. I'm going to kindergarten.
I'm going to be waiting for kindergarten.
Just a baby.
I want to go smoke with my teachers.
A little baby.
Yeah, so everybody pray for Britney. Also, pray for Billy Joel. As he has announced the cancellation of 17 shows, he's booked all these stadium shows across North America and England, but he has been recently diagnosed with normal pressure hydrocephalus. And so this is a brain disorder where spinal fluid builds up in the center of the brain. And so it can affect walking, thinking, and bladder control.
Uh-oh.
And so he says that in his recent concert performances, he's had problems with hearing, vision, and balance, not so much going potty. But he says, I'm sincerely sorry to disappoint our audience. Thank you for understanding. So they're hoping that this is just a, you know, rest and recovery, and then he can make it back out on the road. But doesn't sound promising.
If you were promised one song during his set where he got up and peed on the piano, would you be more...
We didn't start the fire, would be perfect.
Yeah, right. He douses it with gasoline and then pees on it.
Yeah, he lights his grand piano on fire, then puts it out.
Would you be more inclined to buy a ticket if you knew that that was going on?
Yes.
I would, too.
Absolutely.
I would, too.
You got any water?
You got any water?
So I can process it through my kidneys and then tinkle it all over this piano.
Look, I ain't no matinee idol.
There's an update. There's a tangential update in the Boss versus Trump feud.
Yeah.
This is not from either of those camps, but there is a bar in Toms River, New Jersey, Riv's Toms River Hub. They have canceled a scheduled performance by a Springsteen cover band called No Surrender because the owner of the bar deemed the show too risky.
What? For what?
So the
a cover band?
Yeah, the nine-piece group was set to play there on the 30th. But after the remarks that Springsteen made on his Land of Hopes and Dreams tour about Trump, the band members began receiving texts from the owner of the bar, Tony Rivoli.
Hey!
And so he said that his the bass, like the regulars at his establishment, are red and won't stand for Springsteen's BS. And so the leader of the band said, well, we can play under our old name, Asbury Fever, and we can just do classic rock covers. We don't have to do any Springsteen. You know, we're a cover band. We're
right.
Just trying to make some money.
Right.
And he said no, because they had a rate of $2,500 for a non-Springsteen show. Or no, that was their rate. And Rivoli said, well, no, if you're not going to play Springsteen, I'm not going to pay that.
Why are...
So he's just trying to weasel out of the gig.
Yeah. Why are people taking this seriously? This is a ridiculous feud that will go away in like a week and we'll laugh about it, you know, years from now. This isn't like some powder keg that's going to separate the country.
No.
It's two icons, though. I mean, people love the Boss and people love Trump. And a lot of people love both of them, and they're very conflicted right
Doesn't
now.
Doesn't Trump know that Bruce basically stands for America? Like, when you think when you think of American rock and roll, you literally think of Bruce Springsteen. And all the things that he does for veterans and all the things that he does to fight for unions. I mean, dude, he is literally the voice of the disenfranchised, of the blue collar.
Not anymore.
Now he's just a lib.
Yeah.
That's
now,
right.
Now he's a dried up old prune of a rock star.
55 years of being this.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah. You can undo a lot in 5 seconds.
God.
Gordon, have you ever been to the Morrison's grave in Paris?
I do not believe that I have.
So he was buried in the Père Lachaise Cemetery.
Père Lachaise.
Is that what it's called?
Have you been, Gordon? So. Did you just ask that?
Yeah, I asked if he'd been.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, sorry, I had my headset off for 1 second.
Oh.
He's paying really close attention to the show.
Yeah, I've gone there.
By the way, I love y'all's program. I think it's so fun. You're both just so funny. Go ahead.
This is your program.
Oh.
Dummy. Well, the French police have finally located the bust, the sculpture of Jim Morrison that was stolen from his grave 37 years ago. It was stolen in 1988, but during a recent investigation, they have found it. They didn't name any suspects. They haven't said how the theft occurred or how they found it. They just said that they found it. I don't know if they've placed it back yet, but they've just relocated it. So it was made by a Croatian artist in 1981 to honor the 10th anniversary of Morrison's death.
Okay, so it's not really all that original.
Well,
I mean, somewhat
10 years after the fact.
I wonder if, because isn't desecration of a grave like a high-level crime? It is here in the United States. I wonder if that person or whoever did it 4 decades ago is going to be in trouble for this.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
like I said,
it was a crime of passion.
I wanted to put my wiener on the statue's
inside.
Mouth.
Oh, hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, last thing
get
before
to his chompas.
All right, last thing before we get to Friday Fun / Rant. Tiger King, Joseph Maldonado Passage. He is, of course, still serving time in Fort Worth.
Right here.
Next to Colonial.
Yeah, we should go break him
He's
out.
He's just right off the 18th
to go
green.
See Michael Block play his last few holes.
Uh-huh. And so as we reported recently, he got married in prison. Whether or not it was a legal marriage or just kind of a wheels-off prison marriage, we don't know. But yeah. He married a fellow inmate, Jorge Marquez. Well, Jorge Marquez...
Man, he loves the Hispanic.
Yes. Well, Jorge Marquez was serving time after being caught driving 6 undocumented immigrants across the U.S.-Mexico border.
Way to go, Gordon.
And so his sentence is up, and he's been deported back to Mexico. So poor Tiger King has been left alone.
Oh, my God.
His new husband has been deported back to Mexico.
Do you think that he'll be faithful to Tiger King? This hot young Latin guy.
And so Tiger King, he's trying to be pardoned by Trump, and he also wants Trump to pardon his gay lover, his new husband, so they can be reunited. But in the meantime, Tiger King shared a picture of a notepad, a page of a notepad that had been ripped out that his new husband, Jorge Marquez, had left him, saying, "Guys, I forgot to show you what Jorge left me to remember him." So here, I'm going to hand this to you,
all right,
Corby, and you tell me what that is.
A starfish of some kind? What is it?
Yeah, it is, Gordon.
Oh, no.
They evidently got a hold of the fingerprinting ink. And then, you know, how, like, when your honey would send you a love letter and she would put on
like
a lot of lip,
it,
yeah,
like
she would
in
put
World
on
War
a lot
II
of
people.
Lipstick and
yeah.
then smooch mm-hmm. the envelope.
Well, this is just like World War II.
Yeah,
except with the anus.
It's a lot of anus smooches.
Yeah, right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I count 9.
Yeah, he did. He counted properly. I saw him.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that romantic, though, in a way?
I think it's hot. We always thought that the lipstick on the letters is
romantic.
And they're like
romantic.
Snowflakes.
They are.
Everyone is different.
Is that true? is the anus as individualized as a fingerprint?
Yeah, the anus is the human snowflake.
Did you think in kindergarten that you would ever say that sentence?
That the anus is the human snowflake?
The anus?
Gordon, no.
I want that on Dave's tombstone with his little stupid Jim Morrison bust on it.
Right.
With my Jim Morrison bust, with my mouth agape, just in case.
Right.
With a hand pump of applesauce right next to it for you.
yeah. For all to see.
Yeah. And then.
You agree to that right now? That so your son will someday visit your graveside.
Yeah.
And all it says, here lies Dave Lane.
Yeah. And instead of my picture on my headstone, it's my anus print.
Yeah. Right. Are you agreeing to that right now?
I am agreeing to this right now.
Okay. All right. It's a deal.
Yes. Put it in my will.
It's a deal. Okay, let's do the rant. We've got a fabulous, fabulous story to tell about the Brett Favre documentary next.
Take it.
Equipment on the fly.
Well, we are live at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. And we, as the rest of the shows have been doing all day long, including the Musers, are having a great time. Awesome spot out here in Fort Worth. Always has been. And it's time for the Rant Revival.
Thanks to the Patriots Outpost.
And the Patriots Outpost, of course. The Rant Revival typically is on Thursday, but we had too much stars yesterday. And so we moved it to Friday. Gordon is with us. Gordon, thank you for adjusting your schedule.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And being with us. So yesterday, or last night, got home, and I had this bookmark to watch, and I didn't know when I was going to get to it, but then I saw it was only an hour long, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just knocking this out right now. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, let's go. So I sat down and watched the new Brett Favre documentary on Netflix. Is it called Covers
it's
Uncovered?
The Fall of
no,
Favre.
It's Untold.
Untold, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of a series.
Yeah, Untold, The Fall of Favre. Gordon, did you get a chance to watch it?
I have. I still have 19 minutes left in it.
Okay, so you saw
I haven't watched to the very end.
So you saw most of the good stuff. This focuses on Brett Favre, mainly his time with the New York Jets, which was after the Green Bay Packers, of course. He fake retired, ends up going to the Jets.
Because he was in that tinkle match with the Packers over Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. And he's an older guy at that time, 37, 38 years old, goes and plays for the Jets. Well, the story centers around his, air quote, relationship with a female employee at the time that worked for the Jets named Jen Sturger.
She was the in-game host.
Yeah, and I don't know about you guys. I don't really remember this rise of Jen Sturger, the way that they were promoting this in the documentary. I mean, I think I remember the Florida State moment. She was a student at Florida State in the early 2000s. And there was a viral moment, if there could have been at that point in the world, where she is shown in like a bra type, bathing suit.
She's wearing a bikini top and like Daisy Duke shorts, and she has the straw Florida State cowboy hat.
And Brett Musburger made a lewd comment about her, like, oh, boy.
A bunch of horny boys just committed to Florida State.
Yeah.
Look at that. A lot of people splattering the screen right now.
Who would have thunk it? So she was plastered all over Deadspin and became this early internet thing and was hired to do random sports-related hosting gigs. Again, I think I remember the Florida State moment. I remember nothing about her other than the Brett Favre stuff, the in-between things. Do y'all?
Yeah, I didn't really remember her at all. But evidently she was internet famous enough for a while that she parlayed it into a few different broadcasting gigs.
Right. And broadcasting is a loose term.
Right. Internet stuff.
Right, right. But she did well enough in her career to get to be this in-game host for the New York Jets. I don't really know what that all entails.
Well, you used to do it for the Desperados.
And I didn't know what that entailed. You do, like, giveaways at halftime
or something like that?
Yeah,
it's like Chris
Arnold
at the Mavericks games.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's probably a good comp. And she was real. I mean, the way she described it, and she's probably about 40 years old at this point, but and she looks awesome, by the way.
She
looks
does,
great,
yeah.
if I can judge her, Gordon.
Who does?
Jen Sturger. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks way better now, I think, than she did back then.
Debatable.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an age thing. It's just that she's, you know, she's done work and things like that. And
sure, sure.
It's always debatable
on
as to
her,
what
on her body.
What's so, improvement and what's not.
The thing that I remember about this incident was that, I guess, leading up to the photo, which everybody talked about at the time.
The D-pic.
Yes, Brett Favre sent a picture. I guess I don't remember the build-up to it other than that. Now, she describes everything chapter and verse as far as how it all led up. So let's listen to this piece of audio. This is Jen Sturger. What's that?
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Okay.
This is Jen Sturger describing, as she worked for the Jets, now Brett Favre is a player for the Jets, and how it all unfolded.
I was at a game, and someone walked up to me, and they said, "What would you say if I told you Brett Favre wanted your phone number?" And I said, "I think I like my job, and I look a lot like his wife."
Pause it there.
Went home.
So she looks identical.
Which she does.
Yeah, like a younger version of Favre's wife.
There were photos that they showed of Favre and his wife, and I thought it was her. When I, you know, until she started talking about this, I thought that was her. Okay, go on.
Happened to log into my MySpace. There were two messages from someone that I didn't recognize the name. And one of them was basically saying, "Hey, I'm new to the team. This is what I look like. I don't want to give away too much. Very interested in you. Got your name from the front office." The second message was, "Well, since you didn't give me your number, so-and-so is going to come ask you for it." And then I started getting text messages. The person was trying to get me to meet them. Offered to send me a car. And I just kept saying no. The voicemails are definitely when I was like, "Oh, I'm in serious trouble here." Unless somebody knew how to do a really good Brett Favre impression.
"Just got done with practice. I'm going back to the hotel and just chill. Had to come up with that.
Again, so that all was, they had never met, okay? They had never.
She contends that she's never met him.
I know,
this day.
That's at the end of this. But think about the steps that he is going to with this person.
Yeah, who's that? What's her name?
Right.
What's her number?
Right. Voicemails. And again, she's either not responding to any of it or flat out saying no. And then it escalates to this.
"You can tell I told him no. I was watching playoff baseball, and I remember my phone going off. And I opened up the picture. The picture came through, and the T-mail address that it came with was B. Favre."
It's the D-pick.
"We would be in the tunnel, and he's, like, looking at her, like, making eye contact, like, hand gestures, like, trying to talk to her. I'm like, this guy's about to go play an NFL game. Like, oh, my God."
Tim was the one that would walk me to and from the security office that I would go and sit in between when I was working, just because I didn't want to be out on the field. Anyone else I told just kind of shrugged me off. They were just like, "We'll look into it."
I remember her speaking about just that no one's listening to me, no one cares. I mean, you have someone who working for your company who feels that another employee of your company is stalking and harassing them, to not even take it serious, to just even hear her out, to me is, that's scary.
So, it is classic stalking.
And it's pre-Me Too, so the Jets aren't going to do anything about it.
Have we moved to a space now, regardless of Me Too? Because I know a lot of famous people have been caught up in the web of Me Too, and rightfully so. But would, I don't even, the Brett Favre of today, I don't even want to name any names, but the Brett Favre of today, if this happened, would this be a story, or would Kansas City protect him You know what I'm saying? Like,
I thought you weren't going to mention it.
I didn't.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I mentioned a city. Would he be? Would the quarterback be protected though? Or would this be a story?
I mean, they would try to kill it.
They would do. I think that they would be much better about doing due diligence today. And I'm kind of surprised that the documentary didn't go into, you know, showing the her attempts at, you know, contacting management and showing how they ignored her. And I mean, they really should have gone for the jugular and showing all the receipts about how the Jets organization just ignored them.
And it was interesting how, because she was painted as a homewrecker and a slut, you know, when this whole story broke. And if you believe her story, that
she says she didn't even respond to anything.
Yeah, that she didn't respond to anything, that they had zero relationship, and that the story only came to light because she slipped up and said something to a guy she knew at Deadspin.
Okay, so that's where we pick it up.
AJ.
AJ Delario, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. And they had a working relationship, she and this guy from Deadspin, because
they made her.
Yeah, he's the one that put her pictures out there. And so they had a, you know, friendly email relationship. And then this happened.
We were just talking like two coworkers would talk to each other, completely off the record. And there was a story that was in the news where a woman had received pictures and or was being harassed by an athlete. And I was like, well, doesn't even come close to the story that I went through when I worked at the Jets. He got excited. And I realized I had overshared. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, this was an off-the-record conversation. He hit me up and he was like, I'm going to run your story anyway.
There's an internet report today that accused you of sending some inappropriate text to female employee at the Jets. You're there. Ever found the value?
He's with the Vikings now.
You know, I mean, no. I mean, I'm not getting into that. I got my hands full with the Jets and trying to get some timing down with our guys. That's all I'm going to discuss.
Quarterback with
so pause it there. So that was such an awkward moment. I don't remember that video surfacing from the Vikings. So he'd moved on to the Vikings the next year. She had been let go of her job, by the way, with the Jets. Who knows why? But the reporter asked, hey, there's rumors that you sent inappropriate text messages or emails to an employee with the Jets. How do you respond to that? And he takes the biggest swig of water before he
should have kept drinking and asked for another one and keep drinking that.
Right, just kill one bottle and then pick up another one.
Yes. It was so awkward, and he was so shifty and so nervous.
Just pouring buckets of sweat already.
I don't want to talk about that. I got enough to deal with this week playing the Jets and timing and
okay,
all that.
Were you guys a little bit surprised that they didn't show some more of the text? Because the rooster shot is the most shocking one.
Yeah, but I don't
and
know.
And then all the other ones are all like, you know, hey, or what are you doing tonight?
As he's hey, do you want to come over? Resting it in his hand like a hot dog in a bun.
But I don't think that there were many. I think he ramped it up from, hey, I got your number from so and so, you know, sending text messages. Do you want to come over tonight?
With a southern accent.
I'll send you a car, and then she never responded, and then the next step...
Right, is just a rooster shot.
Yeah.
She obviously needs to see what she's missing.
I mean, the thing is, though, this playbook had worked for him how many times?
Right.
This was the playbook.
Yeah.
And finally he got called out.
And then the other thing that, if you believe her version of events... So she says she let it slip to the Deadspin guy, and the Deadspin guy runs the story without her permission. Then the rooster shot only gets released because her email gets hacked.
Yeah, play the rest.
I mean, she's been...
All signs point to yuck if Deadspin.com is to be believed.
This morning, a future Hall of Famer is caught in the middle of an NFL sex scandal.
Did the married quarterback make unwanted advances toward women?
Oh, that's Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
How shocking if anyone could possibly do this to another woman.
Does he have a remote lock on his door?
When he played for the Jets.
Favre had sent what I'll euphemistically call racy texts and X-rated photos of himself to an in-house sideline reporter named Jen Sturger, who, by the way, has appeared in Playboy and Maxim. And joining us now from Philadelphia is the editor of Deadspin, A.J. Delario. When you got these texts and the pictures, allegedly from Favre to Jen Sturger, did you pay for that material?
Yes, I did.
She said she didn't want her name attached to this. You did attach her name to it, and you published some private email correspondence between you and her. Why? Was that unfair to her?
Well, I said to a couple people at the end of this, if there are, you know, two scumbags out of this situation, it's myself and Brett Favre.
Somebody else who provided this to you.
We played a third party, yes.
So here's the craziest part about the whole scandal, is that I've never met Brett Favre. I've never met him. We've never been in the same room. We've never shaken hands. We had no kind of relationship, no rapport, nothing.
So, and I get it, there are so many online relationships where people don't ever meet that, you know, you think you're in love type thing, currently especially. But back then, that really wasn't the case, I don't think, that much. And for him to take those steps, I mean, meteoric jumps.
Yeah.
From
a rooster
shot. Do you want to go to dinner?
Yeah, so you can debate that whole end of it. Is it okay for him to take a swing at that when she works at the same organization? Then there's the immediate jump to the rooster shot, which everyone is very clear on how wrong that is. And then she turns around and gets betrayed by Deadspin.
I know.
Yeah.
And then she's the whore.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the trollop. She's selling sex because she was in Playboy.
Okay, hey,
well, they just took her story that she didn't want out there.
I know.
That guy, at least she didn't want her name associated with it, and they betrayed her on that.
He's so scummy, the Deadspin guy. 3 minutes, yeah, let's get back.
He's the same guy who got the Gawker basically bankrupted, I think. I think he was involved in the Hulk Hogan thing. And
yep, that's him.
His testimony didn't go well.
Let's go back in 3 minutes and finish this up.
The ticket.
Okay, so we are wrapping up the rant revival live here from the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Talking about the Brett Favre documentary on Netflix, The Fall of Brett Favre. And half of it was the sex scandal with Jen Sturger. And to be honest with you, as creepy and awful as that was, it doesn't hold a candle to the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear about sex scandals all the time. Right? And at least they never actually made contact with one another. It wasn't one of those.
It was just harassment.
It was. It was awful, creepy harassment. But bilking millions out of a Mississippi welfare program?
A welfare program in Mississippi.
His home state, Gordon's home state. Millions and millions of dollars, and to be affiliated at the I'm not sure, Gordon, you said you missed the last like 15 minutes or so, but there was some drug company that he was connected to, and it was a company that manufactured this medical device for people that had concussions and for like post-concussion syndrome and things like that.
It was like a nasal inhaler,
right? And it was never proven to be anything more
it
than just
like
a gimmick.
Snake oil.
Totally. Well, he had millions, I think, riding on this thing. And so not only did he bilk Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, out of millions to build a volleyball court for his daughter's volleyball team who was playing at Southern Miss, he then realized how easy it was and was like, well, hell, can I cover my, you know what, when it comes to, this scam drug company? So anyway, here are text messages being read aloud between him and somebody that works in the Mississippi government.
If you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much? New replied, no, but added, I understand you being uneasy about that.
Yeah. Me too!
Unfortunately, the volleyball stadium is only one piece of Brett's involvement in the Mississippi welfare scandal. Since Brett now knew that Nancy and John could help him get large amounts of funding, he asked for more. About $2 million went to Prevacus,
You provide this applicator that has the drug in it, and it's a mouth-to-nose propulsion.
They needed Mississippi because they were out of money. And so even though this concussion drug company has nothing to do with Mississippi or could benefit the poor in any way, he goes back to John Davis and Nancy New.
4 years later, the millions in taxpayer dollars are gone. There's still no evidence the drug works in humans, and it's nowhere close to getting approval.
So it was just one scam after another. And, you know, he's pleaded complete innocence all along.
Wasn't there another deal where he got paid an appearance fee for a speech he didn't give?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. I remember that.
Yes. But the fact that he was so brazen and open with his text messages, you know, at the beginning of that clip, when I mean, it's like, are people going to find out about this? How much money that I got? Will the media find out about this? Oh, I think you're good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and one of the points that they made in
here's a rooster shot just to steal the deal.
One of the points they made is that after his dad passed away, his dad was the only guy that scared him, that would keep him on the straight and narrow. So once his dad passed, he had no one to tell him no, and he just felt invincible, and he felt like he could do whatever he wanted.
Man, and that dad seemed like a hard-driving son of a bitch.
Yeah, okay. He looked like an old South Mississippi taskmaster.
Hurt people, isn't that the old saying?
That's right.
The thing that they didn't cover in here, maybe they stayed away from it. I don't know if it made Brett look sympathetic or something, so they didn't want to put it in there. But what about all the drug stuff?
Yeah, I thought that
seems
was
like
curious.
They could have put that in there and
two things that were curious,
even more
to me.
Of a villain.
Yeah, two things that were curious to me was one, that they didn't even mention the opioid addiction and all of the fake prescriptions that he had. And also, why was Michael Vick
I'll tell you why. Because Michael Vick went to prison. And they were saying that, you know, they mentioned it a couple of times that if a black man did what Brett Favre did.
Okay, that makes sense then.
He is going to prison.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, you're right about that.
If there is an NFL black quarterback that's grifted millions from the state, whatever state government, they're going to jail. They talked about it at the end, how all these people that were mentioned that were involved in this scandal all have done some sort of jail time. They've all had to pay the price, and Favre has skated. It's so weird.
Yeah, and there are people like Bob who are Favre apologists to this day.
Yeah, so here is the ending.
Bob defends all of the activities that Brett did.
Yeah, he has the rooster shot framed in his office.
Yeah, he does. He loves that. So here is the ending. You'll hear Peter King's voice. Peter King, I didn't realize this, but Peter King was basically bunkered with Brett Favre for years, you know, as far as journalist and quarterback goes. They were really, really close friends, and Peter is completely distanced from him. But this is how they wrap things up.
Whatever he was getting. Bidding for his endorsements has dried up. In the end, that could be the one consequence he has from this. It's costing him a lot of money. But I mean, it probably should.
In our world today, winners get to write the history. And Favre was a great football player who showed some feet of clay. And I think people who love sports, who love football, they cannot like a person, but they can love an athlete, even though the person is not very likable.
There are people that are going to remember this, but there are just as many people, some that are even going to watch this documentary, that are still going to deny. Because they just don't want to hear that their hero is not the person they think he is.
Bob.
It's true. It's really true. And Bob knows what an idiot Brett Favre is. But think about all the people in Green Bay that they showed crying when Brett Favre came out onto the field during his
welcome
back
speech.
Somehow
they forgave him after he went to the Vikings.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that didn't forgive him, though, for going to the Vikings.
Yeah, I know. And you combine the Vikings with all this other stuff, I'd be like, I don't want any part of this guy. Thank you very much. Like, it's a lot. That guy's a mess.
And did you see, like, how I forget what it was. I guess he was testifying before Congress about concussions, and he was talking about how he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it was almost like he was trying to manifest a shake while he was sitting there in front of Congress.
As you could tell, I have Parkinson's.
It's like he to this day, is trying to manufacture sympathy.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. Wife stayed with him, though. She looks good, too.
Oh, come on, Corby.
Well, she's a pretty lady. I can say that. I like her. All right.
Do you think he has a copper fit C-ring?
Come on.
Sure he does.
The guy alone.
With the number 4 on it.
Gordon, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Was he ever a hero of yours being from Mississippi?
No. No, he wasn't. I mean, I was interested in the story. You know, his meteoric rise in the NFL and all that and his career, but I wasn't a fan of his or anything.
Okay. I thought that you were blinded by your Mississippi roots.
No. No.
Man, and his accent before he became a professional.
Oh my God.
My God. It sounded like Gordon when he was 5 years old when his mom recorded it. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You're damn right. I love football.
It's not the way he sounded.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.